We have the ultimate with us right now, Pat.
Hello.
There he is. There he is.
How are you?
Is he there live or is he by phone?
Yeah, no, I'm here, big boy. I'm right here. I'm sitting right here.
And we got scissor hands showing up. Everyone is here right now.
Oh, my
gosh. How are you, Pat?
Where's Eschback?
Oh, no, he's riding down. That's where, you know.
Okay, he's not. Okay.
Yeah, no, he's going to come by here later, though, I believe. That's what he told me.
Hey, I got to ask you, Jim, and I was asking Matt yesterday, I think you're the baseball guy, but Dusty Baker and La Russa, how personal is that with those two, Jim?
Well, you know, I mean, they were involved in one of the most memorable World Series of all time with the, with the earthquake, 1992.
Right.
I mean, it's amazing. You know, listen, I know both of them pretty well. Dusty Baker, I love. I just love the guy. And you guys would love him, too. I mean, he's just an old-fashioned baseball guy, you know. And one of my greatest baseball stories of all time involves him. Tom Brenneman and I walked into the office like we always do, you know, before a game. You get to go talk to the opposite manager. And Willie Mays is sitting in there, and I got to listen to Willie Mays talk for about 15 minutes.
Yeah.
I can't explain how impressive that was. I like Tony La Russa, but he's kind of a different kind of dude, you know. I think probably he's really lucky to still be managing after the things that he's done here lately. But obviously the dude can manage. And you know how it is, Pat, for us old-timers. You're older than I am, but these young kids nowadays, for him to be able to relate to them and take this team to the playoffs, I think is pretty impressive. So this is it's pretty cool to have these two guys going against each other in the playoffs.
Well, that's interesting. I was curious about your take on it because I know you've been close to both of them and everything. So
I don't think they like each other very much. If that's what you want to know, I think that they've gone against each other and. But both of them are good baseball people. I'll tell you that, man. Both of them are really, really good baseball people.
Is their management style different, Jim, in the way they deal?
Yeah, La Russa is Dusty Baker's more of a player's manager.
Mm-hmm.
You know, La Russa's kind of a guy that he doesn't like to really let go very often. You know, he's not a real kind of fun kind of guy a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Dusty Baker is, but I will tell you this, Dusty will get after it now. He'll start yelling at somebody if he has to, but it's pretty, I mean, I think it's incredibly cool. 1992, right? So that's what, 29 years ago?
Well, the earthquake series was actually 89. So,
oh, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, a little bit older than that. It's been a long time now.
We were talking yesterday, Trey, that Bob Nightingale piece talked about how Dave Stewart tried to broker peace between them.
Right.
And it was at Bob Welch's funeral in 2014, and they hadn't talked to each other in years, no conversations at all. So he put together a dinner, and they sat down for dinner and evidently made peace with each other. So 3 months after the dinner, Stewart gets hired by La Russa to become the GM of the Diamondbacks, and his first move was to fire Kirk Gibson.
Yeah, that's right.
As the manager,
yep.
And so he told La Russa and said he had the perfect replacement. He wanted to hire Dusty Baker, and La Russa wouldn't do it. So
yeah, I think that their peacemaking was probably about like DeChambeau and Kepka. You know, I think probably. So, you know what I'm saying? I mean,
kind of a play-like peacemaking.
And let me tell you something now, Dave Stewart. If he tells you to do something, you better do it.
Will
He's
it?
Like a five-time black belt.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I'll tell you, that's interesting because I couldn't stand Kirk Gibson. You know, we had a big old I don't know if you know that story. Oh, you'll love this, Pat. So when we're at Oklahoma State, we go down to Lakeland, Florida to play baseball. You know, we went down there to play like four or five games against Purdue and some other teams.
Right.
And we were right there. And the Detroit Tigers were there. And so me and Robbie Wine, you know how we were. We were up partying until about, I don't know, 2 o'clock in the morning that night. And suddenly there's a pound on our door, and it's Kirk Gibson. We don't know him. And he's a big old boy now. I mean, he's a big boy.
Right,
I mean, you remember him, Pat. He's a good wide receiver.
Big-time
wide receiver.
Good football player. You betcha.
Yeah, at Michigan State. So anyway, he starts yelling at us and stuff, and we're like, get out of here. Go down. We don't care. Go down, you know. So the next day, we're taking batting practice, and here comes Kirk Gibson over to our field, and he starts, like, wanting to fight me. And you know me. I mean, he probably would have thrown me around, but I wasn't going to back down, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And
sure.
And you want to know the two people that came after him? Who? Gary Ward and my father.
Okay.
Yeah, they came running in like, what are you doing? And, I mean, we were getting ready to brawl with Kirk Gibson.
That's funny.
I mean, it's unbelievable. So I'm not a big Kirk Gibson fan.
Sure.
But I'll tell you, Dave Stewart, when you stood at the plate and he was pitching, you know, you're supposed to look at their face, right? You know, the emblem on the hat is about the same size as a baseball.
You're
so
right.
You want to look at that. And so whenever Dave Stewart was on the mound, I'd look at that emblem, but then I would look down at his face before he'd pitch. And I got to tell you something, man. I was scared to death of the dude, man. He was a bad dude. I mean, a bad dude. So, but a great pitcher. So, yeah, so that's interesting, all those guys you're talking about.
Yeah, they hired Chip Hale, and 2 years later he was fired, and so was Stewart and La Russa.
Hey, by the way, the Diamondbacks, you know, they haven't done a daggone thing since I was in the booth.
Right.
So maybe
it was
me, right? That's what I tell them.
Yeah,
and you know, in November, a month from right now, I'm going back to Arizona for the 20th anniversary. We're having a big party. Yeah,
a
big party.
Oh, that'd be
Jerry Colangelo's house.
That'd be cool.
Patton, have you ever ran across Jerry Colangelo in your time?
No, not really. I mean, obviously, who he is. No, I don't. I've never crossed paths with him. No.
Boy, impressive dude, man.
Yeah.
Really impressive guy. Yeah.
Right.
So anyway, I'm excited about that. Got a World Series ring and didn't really deserve it, but it was.
That's
cool.
Well, you did too. Let me ask you one more question. Who are you picking this thing tomorrow?
I'm the only person in the world, I think, except the people that are betting, that's picking Texas. Everybody is picking OU. I think I'm probably wrong because 70% of the money or more is on Texas, and the line finally moved to 3 from 3.5. So Vegas thinks OU is going to win by more than 3, but I don't know. I got a bad feeling, Craig. I don't know what it is. 3 years ago, I had a bad feeling, and I'm wrong on this game a lot. Don't get me wrong, but 3 years ago, I had a bad feeling about the game. Everybody picked OU.
The Kyler Murray game.
Kyler Murray made the most unbelievable comeback that didn't get there at the end.
Right.
But I hope I'm wrong, but I don't know. The problem I have, Pat, with OU is that they have yet to put together an entire game on both sides of the ball. They haven't done it yet. And I think every week's like, well, they're going to do it now. They're going to do it now. Maybe they will, but Texas, I think, is the best team they played all year. You agree with that?
Probably so. I mean, the thing is, I tend to agree with you, Jimmy, but something's going on. Something has irritated the you-know-what out of Grinch. You know,
yeah, well, I've got some stories on that I could tell you off the air.
I'm with you.
I think if you really talk to the people you know, I think you'd find it out too. If you already haven't,
I've heard some of that stuff, and you know, for him to openly be critical about practice habits,
heard that out of Lincoln Riley coach in my since he's been there, and
I
a lot of other coaches too.
Yeah, publicly, you know, you might get in a staff meeting and say whatever, get behind closed doors, or go into coach's dressing room and shut the door and let it rip. But, I mean,
I was really surprised by that.
So, which makes me believe that, I mean, they're dealing with something down there that is a little bit out of whack.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
You know, for like...
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you this, too. You know, somebody asked me this week, Craig, you're a Steeler fan, of course. What a joke they are right now.
Do we have to talk about Steelers?
Yeah, no, but I was going to say, somebody said, Jim, what will you do if Spencer Rattler is your quarterback with the Steelers next year?
Gosh.
And this is exactly what I said. I said I would be cautiously optimistic because I think his arm talent, Pat.
He's got some ability. There's no doubt. Yeah.
But I don't like some of the intangibles very much.
I don't know if he's
a great leader and everything. Now, the Steelers, you know this. They have a tremendous culture. I hate that word, but that's kind of what it is.
Well, it is.
Although I think they made a mistake bringing back Roethlisberger, and I said it in the offseason, but whatever. But I maybe they can make him into it, but gosh, Pat, leadership to me is inside you, you know? I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah, you know, and at that level, I mean, you got to, you know, you got money in your pocket. I mean, you got to want to be good all the time, you know?
Yeah,
you do.
I hear you.
Hey, Trey, back to this game, though. The intriguing thing about it to me is that on paper, all right, it looks like Oklahoma has the better defense on paper.
I agree.
Than Texas does, because Pat and I have talked. I mean, Arkansas ran for 333 on them, just went up and down the field on them. So that bothers me for Texas. But what bothers me for Oklahoma, if what you guys are saying is true, and if there's something under the surface there that hadn't become public, I mean, when you watch them play against K-State, and K-State goes for 400-something yards, and Skylar Thompson lights them up again, you're just saying, man, this defense is supposed to be better, but something's missing here.
Well, if Skylar Thompson couldn't run. He couldn't run.
No.
There were a couple times.
On him.
I know, but when he got out of the pocket, there were a couple of times that he would have run in the pass, but he couldn't, obviously. Yeah, I don't know, Craig. I'm kind of lost on this team this year, man.
I'm with you, Jim.
And I'll tell you this, Pat, they're talking about, you know, Winfrey's going to be a first-round pick or a second-round pick. Placed 30 plays last week. I mean, what? How can that be? You know, Bonito, first-round pick, he played 40 plays. I don't know. I don't know what's happening there, and I believe that I really believe that Grinch is really upset with his team right now. And, again, they're 5-0, right? If you're a coach, you're 5-0, you're happy. They could be, you know, worse. But I'll be I will tell you this, Pat. This Texas team really looks to me like they're pretty well coached.
Oh, I've coached with Sark out there. He was with us at Oakland, and he is a very – Jim, you can appreciate that. When he was out there, he was with us. You know, he was coaching Rich Gannon and Kerry Collins, and they were both older than him, you know, at that time. But I can remember watching them with those quarterbacks. Jim, and he was fundamentally – he would get into the fundamental work with them every day. You know, it wasn't just Star Wars from the day you walked out there. I mean, he was smart and he route combinations, all that kind of stuff. But he was fundamentally very, very sound, which a lot of Lavelle Edwards guys are that come out of that program out there and all. So he's geared toward fundamentals. I don't know how good Texas is. I saw Arkansas run them out of the stadium. I mean, run them out of the stadium.
But let me ask both of you guys this: Is it fair to compare Arkansas to because I think Arkansas up front with what Pittman's trying to do, they just want to punch you in the mouth, right? Well, OU's not a punch in the mouth team.
No.
Most part, now OU in the past has run the ball well in this series,
right?
Which I think obviously is the key as usual.
Sure,
but I don't know, man. It's a weird year. All around the country, it's a weird year. You know,
Jim, that's going to be college football with portals and transfers. This is a broken record with this, and runs you nuts if you've been around any length of time. But that's just, I think we're going to be saying that every year with college football.
No, that's a great point. I look at Michigan State; they got 22 new players.
Thank you.
I mean, are you kidding me? You know, they were terrible last year, right? And the year before,
mm-hmm.
And then suddenly they look pretty good. So you could change your whole team now, Craig. You can change your team in one off season.
Or either way, Jim, you could lose it can work the other way. Yeah, exactly.
Here's another thing that bothers me. I don't like the transitive property, you know, in football. But I look at Tulane, they're terrible. Tulane's not any good at all.
No.
They're 1-5 now or whatever.
Right. And they are.
They gave OU everything they wanted. West Virginia, are they any good? They gave OU everything they wanted.
Yep.
Now, we can all go back to the Arkansas
Nebraska?
Game. Well, we'll see. Everybody, I mean, Mark Rogers and others are telling me how good Nebraska is. We'll see.
Oh, Nebraska's not any good.
I agree with
they're
you.
Not
we'll
any
see.
Good.
But everybody thinks they're going to beat Michigan, and we'll see. Maybe they will. I don't know how good Michigan is.
Whatever,
And then Kansas State, I mean, they're now 0-2. OSU, you know, beat up on them, and now OU barely beat them. So, I don't know, Jim.
It is hard to tell.
And maybe we had too high expectations at the beginning of the year, but
maybe
that wasn't just us. It was them, too.
Texas A&M, speaking of high expectations.
Well, you're exactly right.
You know, yeah.
Well, because they lose the quarterback and the running back. At least they got an excuse, you know. But, I mean, for Texas, for us to – if – that must have been a different team that went to Fayetteville. They must have had a team transplant, Jim, or something right. from what showed yeah. up in Fayetteville, because Arkansas literally beat their brains out.
You're right. No, they did. Yeah. They did. And then, of course, Alabama yeah. and Georgia, I think, are on a different sure. level than everybody mm-hmm. else. But they then are. They got, you know, they got lit by Georgia. I don't know, man. It's a weird situation. It really is. And Beaton Bo, who we all love, right? You got respect for him.
He's got a hell of a good
old
reputation.
Old-fashioned guy, Tony yeah. Wise kind mm-hmm. of guy, wouldn't you mm-hmm. say, kind of guy? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He told us at the beginning of the year his offensive line was tremendous, did he not?
Yep.
He told
yeah.
us that.
Mm-hmm.
And they, I think they blocked one game, so I don't know.
Yeah.
yeah, I don't know what's happening.
Oh,
Pat,
gosh.
What would you have done? What would you have done to an offensive tackle who had two penalties that were holding, one where he went offside, and then that ridiculous penalty
personal
at the
foul.
End, 40-yard. What would you have done to him, Pat?
Found somebody else to put in there.
See, they don't do that. They don't do that. They just don't. Now, I will tell you, Lincoln Riley did it with Spencer Rattler in this game last year, and I
yeah,
think it was
right.
one of the best things he
sure.
ever did.
Yep. Sure.
You know, sometimes you got to wake them up, don't you?
Right.
But it's about time they start playing Kennedy Brooks. That kid's a football player.
Oh, I like both those backs. Now you
I
don't
do too,
know. You
aren't
know,
they
I
different,
mean,
though?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't. I think they're both just good college backs.
Now,
to
I
me,
agree. Now, do you know. Think he's kind of been saving them because he was worried about
know.
Only having two backs?
Maybe.
Crave? I mean,
maybe. I don't know.
That's
don't
another
know.
Question on this game tomorrow. Is if Texas' weakness is their run defense, is
yeah.
Oklahoma going to be disciplined enough just to run the football?
Well, field? But again, Jim, they do. A lot of what they call is the RPO. So
right.
you don't know
yeah.
where the ball's going until it's snapped.
Yeah.
You
it's,
get into
it's
that,
up, it's
you
up
know.
To the quarterback, yeah.
That's
it's up
exactly.
To the quarterback.
So
yeah.
you really don't know. I still think OU's receiver corps, Jim, is the most gifted group on that field, unit-wise. Now,
probably
will they show
right.
up?
I think okay. I will say this: I think the running backs at Texas are pretty daggone good.
Oh, they are. Yeah. I don't think they're Earl Campbell or Ricky Williams, but I think
no,
they're good backs.
No, no, no. But I think they're pretty good.
They
Here,
are.
Hey, real quick. There was no RPO when I was playing, but
yeah.
I'll just tell you what I would have done, okay? We played a game that started snowing. You'll love this, Pat. It started snowing really hard towards
uh-huh.
the end of the year.
Yeah.
And my offensive coordinator was up on some scaffolding. That's how he called plays.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't see the field, so they let
yeah.
me call my own plays.
Yeah.
I had 10 plays. 9 of them were passes.
No, oh, well, so, why does that surprise me? I mean,
But so if I had a run-pass option, I'm letting you know I was probably throwing it, Pat.
I could see that, yes. Thank
I
you,
hate
Jim.
To cool him off. The man's on fire.
No,
so
I'm good, man. We're getting ready to go down.
Where are you headed now?
Oh, my gosh. What an unbelievable
right.
place. We're at the Reservoir down at the Toyota Music Factory, and it's going to be great, man. Great food, drink, and I'll be out on the patio area. It's got a nice little stage. So come on by and see us. We're going to be there. I'll be there at 2 o'clock.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.